First, a new report released this week by the American Academy of Pediatrics issued a recommendation that might raise some eyebrows. Pediatricians and parents alike, they say, should warn children by age 9 about the dangers associated with drinking alcohol.
The authors of the report say alcohol is a substance most frequently used by children and adolescents in the United States, and the years between 9 and 13 are when children start to think positively about alcohol.
Here with us now to talk more about the recommendation and what parents need to know is Julia Sherman. She's the coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. Julia, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
Well, I think a lot of people, I'll include myself there, think, okay, teenagers, they're the ones we need to talk to about alcohol. When you heard this is a recommendation by age 10, what was your reaction?
I jumped up and down with happiness because the simple truth is that nationally, about 50% of our kids 12 to 14 are drinking. In Wisconsin, alcohol initiation tends to occur in the summers associated with middle school. So if you wait till kids are teenagers or they get the car keys, which was pretty common a few years back, you really have waited too long.
And let's talk about the consequences. We know a lot about the problems of alcohol here in the state. I don't imagine we think of it much when it comes to the consequences of kids starting, as you say, in middle school. What does the science tell us?
The science is pretty frightening, especially if you're a parent. Youth that begin drinking at age 14 or earlier, and that would include that 50%, they increase their lifetime chance of alcohol abuse or dependence to about 41%. Those numbers go up and down a little bit. As you get older, the chance drops, but still, we're talking about very young adolescents making decisions that impact them for the rest of their lives. In addition, we know now that kids, it affects learning. There was a very interesting experiment that was done in California where youth that had abstained from alcohol for their life were compared to young people that had become alcohol dependent and detoxified. And when they were tested, given a battery of tests, and then compared, the detoxified youth tested at about 90% of what the abstaining youth is. No one wants their child to drink away 10% of their cognitive and analytical ability while they're still in their middle school, high school years.
And I hear again and again when we're talking child development, risk of concussion, that sort of thing. Age 12, plus or minus a little bit, is a real turning point, a key point in development. Is that part, you think, of what contributes to those numbers you just gave us?
Absolutely. You know, for many years we thought that brain development was pretty much done, completed. Brain growth was completed by, age 5, age 6. There was a real focus on those early years. But now the physicians and their research have shown that there's a second very important part of brain development that occurs in late adolescence, sometimes up to the mid-20s. And when people are binge drinking during that important period, it will have a consequence in their intellectual growth and development.
You mentioned binge drinking. You said earlier that drinking, in that 9 to 13 age range makes the risk of alcoholism go up. Does it seem to increase the risk of what we call risky drinking or binge drinking behavior down the road as well?
I don't have any numbers on that, but I think there was one thing in that article that was very interesting. There was sort of tucked away and not covered by the media was this statement that because youth tend to be lighter, less muscular, and they're going through some pretty important hormonal changes, that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that the binge drinking, the dangerous drinking threshold for this younger age group should really be 3.
Talking to Julia Sherman from the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project about new recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics saying, hey, parents and doctors for that matter, the time to start talking to kids about alcohol is before age 10, before they enter a really high-risk phase, 9 to 13. They start to think positively about alcohol. You can join the conversation, by the way. Our 800 number is down right now, I'm sad to say, but you can call in at 608-263-1890. That's 608-263-1890. Tell us about how you did or didn't talk to your kids about alcohol at an early age or growing up, the messages you received or wished you had received growing up. 608-263-1890. Well, let's get into those messages now, Julia. You mentioned, actually, before we started the show, marketing. Kids are starting to see a lot of alcohol marketing by this age.
They certainly are. You know, about $2 billion is spent each year in the United States alone on measured marketing for alcohol. There's another $4 billion spent on unmeasured marketing. What that really comes down to is that our youth are seeing about 1,000 alcohol ads a year on TV. And most people don't realize it, but the alcohol industry self-regulates the amount and placement of alcohol advertising. There is no government regulation of alcohol advertising. If, in fact, you have a complaint about an ad, it will be adjudicated by the experts selected and paid by the alcohol industry. With the result being is the voluntary standards they have set are not often met. I looked back to see, you know, most recently in a nearby market, how it was, and I came up with Chicago. They were about as close as I could get. We're not in the top 100 markets here in Wisconsin. And what we see is in Chicago, about 27% of the alcohol advertising in the Chicago media market was more likely to be seen by kids than adults. That tells me the voluntary guidelines aren't working.
Are you hoping for less voluntary guidelines, some sort of change in the law that makes it harder for those advertisements to be seen by kids?
That's something that a lot of people have been looking at for close to a decade now. Beginning in 2006, we saw a steady stream of peer-reviewed medical research articles that showed a causal relationship between the amount of alcohol advertising youth saw and when they began to drink and how much they drank. And it's very clear now that there's a relationship. There was a really interesting study last year where they surveyed over 1,000 American kids. And you know what was the largest factor in them picking a brand? That they identified with it. Kids don't wake up in the morning and identify with an alcohol brand naturally. Somewhere along the line, they've been convinced that it's the cool, fun things to do. And it far outscored whether or not they ever saw their parents drinking it. Parents have a great influence, but they're not the only ones.
I wanted to get to that point. I mean, sometimes when kids get to more of the teenage years, there might be a sense that they're not going to listen to their parents anymore. There's the peer pressure. There's the marketing messages that they're getting. Can parents make a difference for, tweens, teens, maybe even sending their kids off to college this time of year?
Oh, in several ways. The first one is we do need to talk to our kids about alcohol. And there's some great resources out there. Mothers Against Drunk Driving have handbooks that are specifically geared for a middle school parent of a middle school student or a high school student. I really like the materials by the American Academy of Pediatrics because they realize that this may be a very awkward conversation for you, and they give you a lot of tips and how to get at the truth. Sometimes kids are not as forthcoming as perhaps we'd like to think they are. But the other thing we can do is lock up our alcohol. I got into this work 15 years ago after living across the street from a high school for a decade. And I got a locking liquor cupboard during that period, and it was the smartest thing I ever did. If people just secure their alcohol in Wisconsin, and that also means the ugly spare refrigerator in the unlocked garage, we would go a long way to reducing underage drinking. Because when kids start drinking at those early ages, they're not going into a bar. No one would serve them. But they're pilfering it from their families and from their friends. Locking it up and telling your young adult members of the family that it's absolutely forbidden to provide alcohol to the younger members of the family. That goes a long way right there. And don't do it once. Talk about it over and over and over. Because at that age, sometimes repetition is your best friend.
Let's bring in a caller at 608-263-1890. We've got Nick on the line in Madison. Nick, hi.
Yeah, hi. I kind of wanted to make a point that I believe your guest has been echoing, which is when I was younger, my parents didn't really talk about alcohol. It was kind of treated as a taboo topic. And while that didn't really, encourage me to go out and then try it, I kind of created this relationship where I avoided it and didn't really ever think about using it. And then as I grew older, I struggled even as an adult, as a college student, understanding what is that appropriate relationship. And while we never really even had those conversations, it created kind of this awkward dynamic where that conversation was never had. And while I never abused it when I was younger and still don't, it's taken a while for me to understand what is an appropriate and mature and okay relationship to have with alcohol.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. So it worked out okay for Nick, but it took him a while to get there, he says. So starting those conversations earlier can help people start coming to grips with these things, he says.
Of course. Youth, well, I think all of us appreciate pretty clear boundaries, saying that something's off limits until you're age 21. And then this is what the smart thing to do is, makes a lot of sense. For years and years and years, we focused on drunk driving, and we worried about our kids being involved in a drunk driving accident, when in fact more people in Wisconsin die from alcohol poisoning or alcohol-related falls. So it's not about our kids just getting the car keys and then having an accident. Sadly, there are a lot of tragic consequences that can result from alcohol misuse long before youth get a hold of a car.
We're talking to Julia Sherman from the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project, talking about a report from the American Academy of Pediatrics, their new recommendation. Parents should talk to their kids about alcohol consumption before they turn 10.
You can join in at 800-642-1890. That's 608-263-1890, 608-263-1890. What conversations, if any, have you had with your kids about alcohol? When did you have it? And if you haven't talked to them about alcohol, what would make it easier to broach that subject? Give us a call at 608-263-1890 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now with Julia Sherman of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. She's joining us to talk about a new report out this week from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which recommends that parents talk to their kids about the dangers of alcohol before the age of 10.
You can join in at 608-263-1890. Slightly different number than usual, 608-263-1890. Have you had this conversation with your kids about alcohol? When did you have them? What did you say? Was it hard to do? 608-263-1890 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Back to calls in just a moment, but we've talked about parents, we've talked about marketing. How about communities? Are there things that can be done at the community level when it comes to kids and drinking?
This past time that they did the survey, Wisconsin has dropped below the national average in underage drinking for the first time in 10 years. It's because of what communities are doing. 30 communities in Wisconsin have adopted social host ordinances that make it illegal, not a crime, just illegal, to provide a location for underage drinking. That makes it easier for the police to prosecute it, and most communities have adopted a $1,000 fine, which makes an impression. There's a first offense. I'm unaware of any second offenders in the state of Wisconsin, but that supports all the good parents, because most parents in Wisconsin that I talk to and meet, they want to raise alcohol and drug-free kids.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got James on the line in Minocqua. James, hi.
How's it going?
Good. What do you think, James?
Well, I was just listening, and I heard the comment about locking up the alcohol, and I don't think that's necessarily the one true answer that would be good for it. I think one of the things that should be done is parents should be more involved in teaching their kids to drink in moderation. That way, when they get to college or move out, they aren't so liable to binge drink and just sort of just take off with finally having all the limiters just taken off.
James, thanks a lot for the call. And this is an argument you hear a lot. Give kids a healthy respect for alcohol, introduce it to them slowly so it doesn't have this mystique, and then they don't go nuts on it when they have the freedom.
And what we've learned is that one of the last things to develop in young people is impulse control. So I'm not going to say don't ever allow your child to have a sip of alcohol with you. I'm not talking about, you know, changing communion or anything like that. But in fact, I lock it up, and other parents do as well, because kids just lack that ability to step back and think about it. If you talk to most parents of a teenager at least once, they've said, "What were you thinking when you did something or another?" And the fact is, they just don't have the impulse control. It may be fine in your family to experiment or allow children to have small amounts of alcohol in a family setting. That's your decision, and I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. But I will tell you that the reason to secure alcohol is because impulse control is simply not present until the early 20s. I think the insurance companies that dropped the rate at 25 knew that long before the rest of us did. But we're both right, but in different reasons.
James, thanks for the call. To Colin now in Dubuque. Colin, hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, you kind of just touched on what I was thinking. I went to France when I was young with the school trip, and my host family, they would serve, they were like 9 and 12 maybe-year-old kids, watered down wine. And I was just thinking, you know, if there's any studies on if you introduce them to alcohol,
Colin,
it makes
them
less cool, or I don't know.
Thanks for the call. Julia?
And, you know, people looked at that, but here's the truth. In Europe, they have terrible underage drinking problems. And in fact, in some parts of Europe, they've radically changed their advertising policies because they are trying desperately to reduce youth exposure to alcohol advertising and reduce underage drinking. Sometimes you try to solve one problem and you end up creating another. Let me give you an example from the United Kingdom. They had a problem with bar closing violence. So they got rid of bar closing hours. And then they developed this horrible binge drinking problem. And now, 20 years later, they have young people with end-stage cirrhosis of the liver. Socialized medicine in Europe and many other things have changed their attitudes dramatically. And you'll find countries both placing minimum prices on alcohol to discourage underage drinking, banning certain products, and very strict limits on alcohol advertising throughout the European Union. We don't have those here.
Thanks, Colin. Time for one more call. Stephanie with us in Madison. Stephanie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, when you guys are talking about advertising, when I was growing up, I don't ever remember having, like, sitting down with my parents and having a discussion, but every time we were exposed to advertising for alcohol or even smoking, whether it had been, like, billboards or TV ads or magazines in the newspaper, my parents would have, like, it was just like a brief mention of that doesn't look cool, or, you know, they would kind of talk about their experiences. It's like my mom didn't like drinking, so she would kind of talk about that. She didn't like the taste of it.
Stephanie, thanks a lot. I want to give Julia a moment to respond. So counter programming there. Julia, as we wrap up, a message for parents to leave them with, to maybe go forth and have these conversations.
Your parents clearly understood the power of a teachable moment. And that was the way to do it then. But now youth are seeing 1,000 alcohol ads on television every year, and that's not even counting what we see in our communities. So parents need to raise these issues over and over and over again. You had a good model, but you can build on it.
Julia, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was Julia Sherman. She's coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. She joins us to talk about a new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics. We've got some information linked on the Central Time Facebook page. The new recommendations involve talking to kids about alcohol before they hit age 10.